welcome to Phoenix Women, the bi-monthly show here on Blog Talk Radio that talks about midlife for wonderful women. This is Wendy Berry, the Next Step Coach, who hosts this show. And it's all about the many facets of the midlife that women go through. And I'm going to give you tools and inspiration and support to help you step into this incredible new stage of your life. And you're going to be able to step into your own power and better serve the world with the gifts that you have. And I am so excited tonight because we are debuting for the very first time here on Blog Talk Radio. So thank you so much for coming and listening in. And I do want to make sure that you know what numbers to call in on. So you might want to get something to write this down. It's 646-716-7979. So because it's the first night, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I am a woman in the midlife. I'm just celebrated my 57th birthday. And I am a mom and a grandma, and I've been a nurse. And now I'm doing life coaching. And so my life has gone through a lot of changes. And one of the most pivotal changes in my life was when I was going through menopause. And I'm sure that some of you can probably relate to some of the feelings, the hot flashes, the mood swings, and all those wonderful things that go with it. But there is a lot of gifts that come out of this time, that came out of this time for me in my life. And so that's what prompted me to have this show, to be able to have a space to be able to talk about that as a community of women. And some people refer to it as a midlife crisis. And I don't know about you, but the word crisis just means that, you know, something bad is going on. So I choose to just think of it as a next step in my life and be able to look at what is going on and how to look at the gifts that that time period it has and is still giving me. But some of the things that we might notice if we're getting into the midlife is looking in the mirror and wondering who the heck that person is looking back at us. Now, I can tell you, I was a home care nurse, and I had a patient tell me one time, she said, you know, Wendy, I was coming down the stairs, and I looked in the mirror, and I thought, who the hell is that woman looking back at me? And she said, that was at this moment I realized that I had aged, and I didn't know what happened. And I thought, oh, I really don't understand that. I was 20 at the time. And it wasn't until probably the last 5 years that I started looking in the mirror and going, who is that person looking back at me? So that's one of the things that I noticed for myself. I also noticed that I started looking at my work and what I was doing and whether or not that was something that I really wanted to do, and evaluating my life and what was really important. So those are the kind of things that we're going to talk about on the show, and I look forward to you calling in and getting interactive with us, because this I want to be a community for us to be able to share and to give information. I do want to let you know that if you have any questions, and maybe you're a little shy about calling in, but you want to ask a question, you can always email me at wberry@mynextstepcoach.com. Make sure that you write in there that it's a question for the radio show, and we'll be able to cover that in the weeks to come. Tonight, though, for the very first show, I have asked one of my very special friends. She's been a mentor to me and an inspiration. Her name is Christine Melton, and this woman has a fabulous story. She's done so many different things in her life and created many things, many opportunities, and she has the most inquisitive mind that I know of and has no fear. She just, and a smile that will light up the room. I wish you actually could see her. But you will be able to tell by her voice just what a wonderful, light personality she is. So I want to introduce you to my friend Christine Melton. Christine, are you there?
I am here, Wendy.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
To Phoenix Women. I'm so glad that you could join me tonight.
Thank you. What a nice introduction. Wow. I'm thinking, who do I want to meet this woman?
Well, you could look in the mirror, I guess, Christine. So, Christine, would you share with the audience a little bit about what it was like coming into your, 40s? What was your life like around that time period?
Well, I would say that everything that I've done in my life has been a stepping stone to the next thing. And when I reached my 40s was when I really began to look at who I was and how I fit into the world. And I did a lot of spiritual work back then to really dive into just what is this all about anyway. And I think that kind of set a foundation for me. So when I moved into that, then I was already starting to look at who I was and how I fit into the world. That was probably the start of it. Was probably in my early 40s.
Mm-hmm. So before coming into that and starting to question your life, were you pretty stable? I mean, what kind of work were you doing before you hit 40 and started questioning things about your life?
Well, life is pretty fascinating. At least mine has been. At 21, I got a job with two men who had started a business, a food brokerage business, and I jumped right in and working in the office. I think I looked about like I was about 15 at the time, although I was 21. And at the age of 24, I married my boss, which I know is like the worst thing in the world you're supposed to ever do. And then I found myself as not only the owner of a business because we started our own business, but I was also an infant mother of three because I married him and we got custody of his children. So at 24, life just exploded. And by the age of 40, we had already had four businesses. We had two businesses in the food business, we had a gym, and then I started my own graphic design business. So life was pretty wild. Of course, I was raising these three kids. So it was a fun time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I look back at it and I think, my goodness, that was but that was part of the fearlessness, just stepping into whatever was at hand and doing it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what do you think brought on that feeling to kind of evaluate your life and what was going on, and how did that affect your next steps?
Well, I found myself looking one day at I will just be honest. I was in the process of getting a divorce from the man that I had a business, all these businesses with, and was raising his children. And I realized at that point in my life that I really didn't know who Christine was, because I was a wife, I was a mother, I was a business owner. And who the heck was this woman who was doing all of this stuff? And it was really a turning point, because although we did not get divorced, we got counseling. And so that really opened up my life to say, wow, I met a counselor who, a coach, she really was my coach. She taught me who I was and helped me to realize I had potential as Christine, not just the mother of these kids and the business owner and a wife. And that's mm-hmm. when I began to really search inside.
So it was almost like after getting permission that you could look at yourself separate from being a mom, being a wife.
I was, yes. The permission came in a strange way, because when I realized that I was facing a divorce, I felt like I was a half of a person, and I mm-hmm. had to fill in the gap. I had to fill in the other half. Who was this person? So it really was a turning point in my life, and it was a very painful time, incredibly.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me, really.
Yeah. So I found that really interesting, Christine, because one of the things that I was reading about midlife, changing into that stage of midlife, it can actually be potentiated by stresses like divorce. It can be a precipitating factor. Yeah.
Well, sometimes we're forced into directions that we would not normally take. And those directions, I do believe, are for our better, even though at the time they looked disastrous. For me, it really was. When you talk about Phoenix women, for me, those were the ashes that I was beginning to come out of.
So it, through that whole tumultuous experience, then you kind of were reborn out of that and to something new. And so what happened to that, with that relationship and after the counseling?
Well, after that, a few years later, we did finally get divorced. And I met the love of my life. And I started a whole new life. I gave all those businesses up. I wasn't involved in any of them anymore. And I just did another turning point where during that time, I had a dream of having a retreat center. And when I married my beloved Jer, we saw a shared vision. And I think that was at 45 when I said, this is what I want to do. So I married Jer at 45. And then when I turned 50, it's when we bought a piece of land down in St. James. And that was the beginning of the retreat center. That was going to be the beginning of the retreat center. So at 50, I was starting another business.
Yeah, very and totally different from what you'd done before.
Very, very different, although different in the type of business, but different in the way that I used all the skills that I had gathered. It's like I had gathered all these tools and put them in my tool belt, and here I had all these things to work with to build from.
Mm-hmm. So during that kind of change in that process, what do you think the biggest gift for you was?
You mean in the process building up to the retreat?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was stepping into a vision. It's something that I had held real close to my heart as a dream, and I never let go of it. So when all the doors kept opening and opening and opening, and this land literally landed at our feet, it was like, okay, wow. I asked for it, and look what I'm getting. I'm getting it.
Wow. So the vision for what you wanted to bring in and do in your life seemed to come out of that turmoil. And when you were able to kind of release some of those things and leave the ashes behind, so to speak, then that vision came to surface for you. Is that right?
Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a pretty big hiccup there because 6 months after we had purchased the land and we moved there from St. Louis to St. James, my Jer learned that he had cancer. And 9 months later, he died. So my dream of having the retreat center was not only put on hold, but it was highly questioned because we were going to do this together, and now all of a sudden I found myself alone. So I was not expecting that. I wasn't anticipating that I was going to be a young widow at 52, and standing there with my dream in my hand.
So what did you do next? I mean, that's a lot of stuff going on all at one time there. Christine, what did you do with that?
Well, Jared died in November, and so for the next 3 months, I took the time to really be quiet. I did a little bit of traveling. I even went to an astrologer to ask the question of, am I supposed to do this? Because I didn't want to jump off the cliff and splat because it wasn't supposed to be what I was supposed to do. And he said, no, it was a great alignment because it gave me the grounding that I needed, and yet it also gave me the spiritual. So I had both. So in March, I decided, you know what? You came here to do this. This was your dream, and by God, I'm going to do it. And so I started then to renovate the second house that was on our property, a little old house. And I think it was in October when I opened my doors as a full-fledged retreat and sanctuary. And I would say it was the best thing I've ever done.
Mm. You know, Kristen, you shared with me the other night about something that you learned by being on the land. And
there are a lot of things I learned. As I look back on it, first of all, when I felt that I had lived quite a bit of life, anxious about a lot of things, anxious about how life was going to turn out. And for one, I know I found my peace there in the country with the stars and the quiet. And when it was dark out in the country, let me tell you, it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. But one evening, my husband used to say to me all the time, when we lived in St. Louis, my gosh, you've got every light on in the house. And I'd say, well, because I can't see in the dark. So one night when my husband was very ill and I had some friends who came over and they were doing Reiki on him, they would give me the gift of being able to take a walk or be away from him for a while. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I haven't gotten my mail. So I began to walk up the gravel road, and there was quite a distance to get to my mailbox. And as I began to walk, I realized about a third of the way that I didn't have a flashlight, and it was dark. And the only thing that I could see was my yellow lab who was darting in front of me, and that was a little bit of white that I could see. And I walked. All I could do was hear the crunch under my feet, so I knew I was still on the gravel drive. And I went by my intuition just to find the way to the mailbox. I had to make a turn. And when I got to the end of the mailbox, I turned around and I realized, and it makes me cry because it was such a significant moment that I realized I was no longer afraid of the dark. I was no longer afraid. I could do whatever I wanted to do. I was really fearless. And I walked back to the house, really feeling completely different, like, oh my gosh, I have shed something that I've had for a long time. And then from then on, I would walk my land without a flashlight. I would walk through the woods in the middle of the night. I would walk around the lakes. I had no fear. I was it's such a sense of peace. That was huge.
Mm. That is That sounds like something that would be pretty impactful, not just about the dark, but about walking through your life in those moments that it feels kind of dark, that you
and
can
there are
draw
a lot of
on
dark
that
moments.
Strength.
Yeah,
did you find that?
After Jared died, when I was doing the retreat center, I really didn't know what I was doing. I couldn't. I just did the same thing I did on that walk. I just used my intuition and followed the path.
Mm-hmm. So now you started the retreat center and what happened with that, Christine? Because that's going to change
well,
for you too.
Yes, it did. Well, I thought it was interesting. I loved the retreat, but it was very interesting because I used to get all these phone calls that people would say, well, how many for just two people, and I'd say, I don't do that. I only do groups. And then another person would call, and, I'd hear myself say, I only do groups. And then the third person called, and it was like that old joke of the guy on the roof where the guy sends him a rowboat and then sends him a ladder and then sends him a helicopter and he drowns. It was like, okay, wait a minute, three times I've been given this message that there's a need for couples. So I joined the Bed and Breakfast Inns of Missouri, and I therefore then became a bed and breakfast in retreat center. And that was a big shift. That was a huge shift because the things I started doing were different and the feeling was different. And it was great. I loved it. It was the best time of my life. And I did that for almost 9 years. And it was great. It was just great.
And but after the 9 years, Did you release that and move on to something else, Christine?
I did. I did move on. My mother was 96 or 97 at the time, and I knew that, you know, being alone down there in St. James in the country, I needed people. I really needed to be around more people, and I knew it was time for me to go. You know, there's sometimes when you just know it's time to move on. So I sold my property, and it is now a full-fledged retreat center for the Ashaya worldwide. And that was amazing in itself, that the land was so loved, and it continues to be loved as a retreat center. I'm very proud of that, that I was maybe just the caretaker of this great place for something else to come in. And then I moved in with my mom. So I took care of my mother for the last 3 years of her life, and what a blessing. It was an amazing blessing. And during that time, I wondered, well, gee, what's next? Because, you know, I'm always looking around the corner saying, what's next? What am I going to do now? And jokingly, my sister said to me, why don't you go to culinary school? And I was 60 at that time. And I thought, oh, that's crazy. What would I want to do that for? And then I stopped and I thought, oh, why not? Why not? So I went and visited the culinary school here in St. Louis. And once again, just like when that land showed up for me, when I walked into that culinary school, I knew that was where I was supposed to be. And so I took about 2 hours. I went across the street with my friend Joni. We had a cup of coffee, and I looked at her, and I said, you know, when a gift is landed at your feet, what do you say? Let me think about it. No. So I called my high school after all those years and told them to dust just blow the dust off my transcript because I was going back to school. So I went back into the office literally 2 hours after I'd left, and she said, I would have thought you would have given it at least 2 hours. And I said, you know, when you know, you know. So that took me into the world of culinary school. And at 60, I started school. It was 5 days a week, a year and a half, and I was in class with 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And that was in itself a challenge, but I'm proud to say that I graduated with a 5.0, and I got awards, and I got 4 scholarships. So,
wow.
You know, I don't care how you, it's just you can do whatever you want to do. And just keep putting one foot in front of the other and do it. And it's amazing what happens. Life just shows up. It just shows up for you when you say yes.
Mm. So I heard you say a couple really wonderful things, because you're talking about what tools did you have in your tool belt. So you talked about really listening and becoming more skilled at listening to your intuition, and being able to say yes to opportunities, even if it seemed like it was kind of a little bit scary, you were able to say, yes, let's go for that. Listening to your curiousness to see what's next and being open. And those are like really important things to do with your life to move it forward, to figure out what your next step is. And to move beyond something and be open to something new, right?
Yes, very much so. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be curious. I think I've always been curious. I'm always wondering what's around the other corner and see what's down that road. Ooh, let's go see what's down that road. Let's go look. And, you know, you can always turn around.
Yeah.
You know, so nothing is final. It's just not final. If you decide that you're going down a road, or you take a job you think is right, and it turns out that maybe that's just not the right place. However, everywhere you go, you learn something. And that's the tool you put in your tool belt. Doesn't mean you have to stay there. You just keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you go, wow, look at this tool chest I have. I can do this, and I can do this, and then I learned that, and I learned that. And it's just amazing what we can do with our lives. We can mold it and shape it into anything we want. And the curiosity is the beginning of it. And
right.
Then just stepping into it and doing. And the intuition part is that little voice, that little chatter that you hear that's in the side of your head and you hear this little voice, and most of us, most of the time, go, oh, shut up. But, you know, if we listen, we go, wait a minute, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me? Oh, that would be kind of fun. I'll do that. And I have these conversations with myself and my intuition, and then, good thing nobody's around, because they go, who are you talking to? It's my intuition. It always guides us. Always guides us. So it's a fun way to live. It's a very inspired way to live.
So Christine, I know since you've completed your schooling and become a chef, what's the next step, the next chapter that you're writing in your life right now?
Well, interestingly, you said the word writing. I am writing. I am enjoying this. I have so many stories in me and so many things that have happened to me that I just chuckle over. Some of them aren't as happy. However, I learned from every one of them, and that is what I'm writing about. Because if there's little tidbits and gold in there for someone to read about or to say, wow, you know, maybe I could do that too, or you know, I struggled through this and that woman did it, I could do it. I'd like to impart that. I'd like to inspire other women to do the same thing. And not just women, I mean men too.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can make anything of our lives we want to. And I certainly have had lots of opportunities. I think that life is like the game of pinball. Every day in the morning, we wake up and we pull the hammer back. And then we let her rip. And that little ball goes bing, 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 bing. And sometimes it goes bing, 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 stops in the same place. And then every night, it comes back down and it settles. And the next day, we get to do the same thing. We get to pull the hammer back and let the ball rip. We never know what life's going to be, but it's all those little bing bings that are what makes life so juicy and so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And every day is like that. Every day can be like that if we open our eyes and our hearts to it. So I am writing because that is what is inspiring me now. And I don't know what's next. I know something is coming. I can tell it. I can feel it. I did a talk once when I was in school to receive one of the scholarships that I got. And the way that I ended it was that I stood there and I said, I'm standing on the edge with my arms wide open, with waiting for the wind to come and take me to my next thing. And I can tell you, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, I know it's going to be good. And I live my life that way, knowing that it's going to be good. Whatever's around the corner, it's going to be good. And how exciting that is. Absolutely. I think it's like basking in the mystery, because we just really don't know, but wow, how fun is that?
Well, that definitely leaves a lot of room for possibilities and not closing things off. But this is something that you you experienced some when you were younger, but it was something that you really transitioned into a knowing. And being able to live from your life from that place. Isn't it, Christine?
Are you talking about when I was really young?
Yeah, when you were younger.
Oh, you mean when I went on a trip to Europe?
Oh, you went to Europe?
Well, that was a turning point for me. When I was 15 and my parents gave my sister and me an opportunity to go to Europe with Bonbon College. And there was one night that I found myself at home at the hotel by myself because I had run out of money and my sister wasn't going to give me any. So I couldn't go to dinner with them because I didn't have enough money for dinner. However, I did have enough money for cab fare. So I told the other girl that didn't go to dinner that I was going to go out for a little while. And I went downstairs, and this is in Rome, Italy. And I was by myself at 15, and I took myself a cab ride to the Trevi Fountains. And I got out of the cab, And I stood there all alone in a foreign land, didn't speak the language. And a young man came over to me, and he said, probably français. And I said, no, no English. He said, oh, England. And I said, no, no, American. Americana. And he helped me to throw my coins in the fountain, and he safely walked me home that night. And, you know, I think that was the beginning of my adventurous life and my fearless life, is that I knew it was something I wanted to do. And, yeah, I don't think that I would suggest that any 15-year-old do that in today. But back in, what, 1964, and maybe it was probably still a crazy thing to do then. However, I did it. And I think it set a stage for me.
Mm-hmm.
So this woman's always been crazy, I guess. I've always been adventurous and fearless in some ways.
So Christine, it's interesting. I came across a quote from Anania Hoffman, and not everybody. I know for myself, it took me later in my life to start listening more to my intuition and living more fearlessly and stepping out and being more bold. But this is what she writes. She writes, note to self, none of us are getting out of here alive. So please stop treating yourself like an afterthought. Eat the delicious food, walk in the sunshine, jump in the ocean, say the truth you're carrying in your heart like a hidden treasure. Be silly, be kind, be weird. There's no time for anything else.
I love that.
And it just when I read that, I was like, oh, that reminds me of you. To just just be in the moment and follow your heart. And that's something that that I really treasure about you, and that you've helped to help me to learn more about that for myself. And so that's one of the reasons why I asked you on to be with me tonight. So anybody listening, if you have questions or you'd like to talk to Christine, please call in at 646-716-7979. And I was looking up about, going through the change, Christine, and thinking about menopause. And I just want to, I didn't realize, I mean, I know women are going through it all the time, but I was reading somewhere and they said there's like 45 million women going through menopause just here in the U.S. And I was like, that's a lot. And that could be a little bit scary, especially if all of us were together at one time. So everybody knows about, they always think about the hot flashes. You know, you see it on TV and those kind of things. And I know that I experienced that, my own personal summers, even when it was the winter and I was outside and I could melt snow. But the biggest thing that for me was having the mood swings and not being able to focus as well as I could when I was younger. And that was really kind of off balancing for me. And so there's a lot of different ideas about how to go through menopause. And there's a lot of research that's being done, and there's, hormonal therapy, non-hormonal therapy. There's different over-the-counter, things like black cohosh that people take. So I think it's really important to find what works for you, for each individual person. And I know that when we're talking about it, you're sharing that that you started menopause early.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when. I don't even remember when. It's kind of a blur. But my mother started menopause at 40. I mean, that was right after I was born. She was 39 when she had me. I wonder if it was because of me. But she started hormone replacement therapy back then because she didn't feel well, and she had this little baby to take care of. And since my mother and I were like bodily clones, I decided to follow in her footsteps. My mother took hormones for 60 years, which is like pretty amazing in itself. And it kept her bones strong. It kept her mind clear. She's had bad headaches, and it helps the headaches. So she always encouraged me to really listen to my body, and I decided to tap also. And so I have been on hormones for, golly, you know, at least 10 years, because I bet I was in my late 40s when I started menopause. And, of course, that was an interesting time for me to do that, because I started all those things, and then my husband is going through dying, and I'm starting a new business and all that. So I think that was something that helped me to take care of myself. So, you know, but I think everybody has to find their own way and find out. But I'm not afraid of that. And obviously, if you have, you know, health situations in your family history, those are things you want to look at.
Right.
So I can say that what I did for me, I can say what it did for me worked for me, or works, continues to work for me. And everybody will find their own path, but there are things to help us.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't have to burst into flame. However, I want to say one thing is I loved whoever coined the phrase, the power surge. I really think that's important for women to look at that whole menopause thing, that it is about power surges. Because, I mean, we are really stepping into a time in our life that can be very powerful. And so if we look at them as power surges, it's like, whoa, I can do anything.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, just because we're looking older, and obviously I guess I'm one who thinks this way, the way my life goes, is I don't think that age has anything to do with what we want to do. My mother always raised us that age is just a number and that you keep moving. Now, obviously, she died at 99 and 9/10. She had a week before 100. So I have a really good mentor, somebody to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And she was healthy all the way up to her end of her life. So it's just a matter of taking care of ourselves and finding out who we are. And what do you want? So that power surge is a really good opportunity for us.
So, Christine, what do you feel like the gifts? Because I look at women that are in the midlife as being able to kind of look back on their life and glean the lessons that we've learned that we want to pass on to the younger generation of women, what we would like them to know. So what would you like to share with the younger generation of women?
Well, it's easier to sit here and look back than it is to be young and look forward. I think that it took this long for me to realize that I am powerful. I am powerful in my own right, just by being who I am, and that I am perfectly okay just by being who I am, that I have gifts to give the world, and that if I don't express them, then shame on me. Everybody, every woman has her gifts. And to step into your own power at a younger age, you are powerful. Powerful.
Mm.
To create the life that you want. And to create the life that you want in partnership with someone else. It's becoming the person that you are and being in a relationship is much more beautiful than diminishing your life because you're with someone. So, you know, just enjoy everything that you do in life. And I love the quote that I saw. I think it was probably a Facebook picture, and it was a little dog, like a little, I don't know, Shih Tzu dog, and it was running as fast as it could. And the photograph was with the dog was running, and its feet were so far off the ground. And the caption was, "Live life as if someone left the gate open."
I found that what you said about having more understanding and coming into your power and being in relationship, where the being in relationship actually adds on to who you are, or helps you to understand yourself even more, and how important that is, different from being in relationship that it's not creating change in yourself. At least for me, because I've had some relationships, and my relationship today is very different from when I was young, because I didn't know who I was. So being in relationship later in life made me very clear on what I wanted and who I wanted to be in relationship with. Did you notice that there was a change from your first marriage and then to Jer?
Oh, definitely. Well, for one, is that, you know, in that marriage, that first marriage, I didn't know who I was, because I was the wife, mother, businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the relationship shifted when I came into knowing who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was no longer just like this little floating. Sometimes I felt like a Stepford wife, you know, just going through the motions of whatever I thought I was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when that marriage ended, and it ended probably because I finally realized, wow, you know, I have more stuff going for me here. My relationship with Jer was completely different. Yes. We were two
mm-hmm.
complete individuals who came together and created a magnificent life together.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I embraced his love of golf and his love of a Native American, and he embraced all my crazy stuff that I did. So he was great, and it was a wonderful relationship.
Mm.
So now I know that relationships, what they can be, because two people shouldn't come together to change each other. They should come together to create something unique that both of them enjoy and still maintain their identity.
Right, right. And help support each other in their growth. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Now,
I'm looking for the next relationship that's going to offer that, that's going to be that beautiful partnership in life.
Well, it's probably waiting around the corner, Christine.
I'll keep my light on, okay?
All right. So I want to have a session segment at the end of the show where we talk about tools that people can use to help them create this next chapter in their life. And you shared some of the tools that you use, you know, your intuition and you know, being fearless and being open and your curiosity. And one of the tools that we can also use is our dreams. This is a wonderful tool, because our dreams are a way for our subconscious to help communicate to us things that are going on in our life. If you look at your dreams, they can tell you a great deal. My problem that I've experienced is not remembering them, unless they're really, really poignant dreams. And I've had a couple really big ones in my life. In fact, that's one of the pivotal moments in my spiritual growth, had to do with a particular dream that I had that caused me to become very interested in dream interpretation. and being able to utilize that to kind of figure out what was going on with me. And so I would like to put out there as one of the segments of my show is dream interpretation. So if anybody has a dream that they've ever had that they'd like to talk about and discuss, because dream interpretation is very personal. Everything in the dream relates to you. If you are dreaming about another woman, you know, a friend, or that is usually an aspect of yourself that that person is mirroring for you. And that's usually how you present yourself outwardly. If you're a female and you're dreaming about a man, that man represents an aspect of yourself, but one that's within you, an inner aspect of yourself. So each character in your dreams or situations will relate to something that's going on within your life within the last few days. And sometimes it's very interesting that by interpreting through your dreams that you get some clarity about a situation that may be causing you some confusion or some angst. And just by listening, that's another way of listening to your internal self, giving you some guidance and understanding. So I would encourage you to keep a journal or a little pad of paper next to your bed, and when you wake up, write down your dreams. And if you'd like, call in, and I will be glad to help you look at your dreams and help see what clarity that would bring for you. And that number again is 646-716-7979. So, Christine, have you ever had any dreams that you felt like meant something to you?
It's funny you say that, because I just had a really vivid dream the other night. And as you were talking, I started to think about it and thought, oh my gosh, I think I know what this is about. I love Florida, and I have a desire to either someday live there or, I don't know, go there. And it was a house that I knew distinctly was in Florida. And I could tell you every aspect of this house. I could tell you the way the windows were, how the rooms were set, the furniture in it. And what I remember most now that has to do with what you just said is this house, although it looked small on the outside, it had so many rooms. And they were all different. And some of them had rooms where lots of people could sleep, a big bathroom that had like three sinks, and then it even had a penthouse that was fabulous. And I was just thinking about that, thinking, wow, what all did that mean? It even had a labyrinth in the back. And a fire pit in the front, which are all things I love. So it had a lot of whimsy to the house, funny little things like a cabinet that you open, and then and inside that cabinet was another cabinet, and you open another cabinet and open another cabinet to get onto this little bitty cabinet. And I thought, how fun was that? Who would make that, and who would put that in their house? That was fun. And it appeared that I owned this house, but it was the first time I'd ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was with someone else, but that was all I remember about it.
In dreams, houses represent your life.
Okay, well, my life has many rooms. I have many interests.
Mm-hmm. And
so
I find it interesting that you're opening doors, that you have that little cabinet and you open one door and then it goes to another door, because you just got done describing your life, that you do one thing and it leads to something else and it leads to something else, and you just keep opening it up.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And having that expansive feeling, you know, inside where you have a lot of space to entertain or to be in community.
Yes.
And this penthouse, so there's not an attic, there's a penthouse.
Really, yeah, and it had a really interesting staircase that mm-hmm. wasn't exactly a winding staircase, but it was very enclosed, and it kind of curved. And then it opened up into this giant room that overlooked the ocean. And you couldn't see any other houses because it was up so high.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. It was a beautifully well-appointed room. Had a gigantic bed. It had, like, satin on it. It was gorgeous.
So how many levels were in the house?
That I remember, there were three levels. There was the, mm-hmm. the bottom level, and there was the uh-huh. second level, which was interesting because it was you had to actually find the door that opened to the stairway to take you to the second floor. It wasn't like you didn't know that this house had a second floor until I opened this door and went, wow, where did this go? And then I went up, and then there were all these, I don't know, it used to be four bedrooms up on that second floor. And then I wound around the back and went through another, like, secret passageway sort of thing. And that's when I found the stairway that took me to the penthouse.
Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about your life and usually, like, your upper level floor has to do with your superconscious or that God consciousness,
ooh.
That connection. And you're describing having a very close relationship spiritually, because that plays a big part in your life, right, Christine?
Oh, huge part.
And so here you have this magnificent room with this wonderful bed, and it's overlooking the ocean, which is like that consciousness. Water is consciousness, and you're overlooking it, and the beautiful scenery. And that's really awesome. That's very awesome.
Yeah.
I can go there in my mind right now. Huh?
I can go back there in my mind right now. It's so vivid.
That's a wonderful place to go. Well, I tell you what, Christine, our time is counting down, and I would like to introduce Michael, who is the creator of Coach on Fire Network. And I want him to be able to speak about the network for just a few minutes before we sign off. And I want to thank you all for coming. I will be back in 2 weeks, which will be, when will that be? It will be on October 26th. And I will be so excited to share another hour with all you wonderful women out there. Michael?
Hello, Wendy and Christine. And
hi, Michael.
Wendy, I just wanted to say congratulations. You led off the Coach on Fire Network tonight. You were the first one, and both you and Christine hit it out of the park. So I just wanted to congratulate both of you on that. And I wanted to take a couple of minutes here to talk a little bit about the Coach on Fire Radio Network. It's basically a group of 14 transformational coaches that will do a lot like what Wendy did here tonight, interview guests and give you a transformational experience and literally coach you live on the air and give you lots of success tips about your life and your business, whatever it may be. And we just have an unbelievable group of hosts on this network. Delora Gagnon out of Ontario, Canada, is a mindset mentor, and she is a master at it. Her tagline is, it's all in your head. She'll be starting next week on Wednesdays. Jessica Ehrenworth, also out of Ontario, Canada, is an assertiveness expert. And her show, called The Assertiveness Solution, is going to teach you all about how to get what you want and empower you by asserting what you want in life and still being liked. Jessica is an amazing transformational coach, and she just does wonderful things. All the way from the UK, on the far south end of the UK, Kate Warlow. Soar with Kate is her show, And she does angel readings and a whole bunch of holistic practitioner and healings and things like that. Kate's going to have an awesome show. Valerie Hector, Engineered Wellness, is the name of her show. And all of these will be starting next week. And you'll be able to find the times on our website at CoachOnFireRadio.com, which should be going up any time now. We've had some technical issues with that. But Valerie will help you cut down your stress and your anxiety and live a healthy lifestyle. She does amazing things, too. And all the way from South Africa, we are truly a global network, Karina Gonzalez. She's going to teach you how to live your life with intent, and she starts, I believe, next Thursday. And then one of the few men we have on the network, at least starting next week, is Ani Fonseca. He's a strategic interventionist, and he'll help you with addictions and relationship problems and whatever seems to be troubling you in your life. Ani is your man. His show is called Get the Edge Radio, and I'm really looking forward to that show as well. Those are the shows starting next week with our host. We have several others that will be starting the following week, and I will go over those on someone else's show as they get closer to their debut. But anyway, Wendy, your debut was absolutely terrific. Our website, again, will be launching here almost any hour now, but more likely tomorrow, and that will be CoachOnFireRadio.com. You can also find us on the Blog Talk Radio Network under Coach on Fire. And again, Wendy, great show. Congratulations. And I see you've got a few minutes, so I'm going to turn it back over to you and let you thank Christine once again, give any closing thoughts, and then roll the title close, and you have hit your home run for the day.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much. I so appreciate you bringing together such a wonderful group of people to be in service to the listeners. And Christine, namaste, sweetheart. I love you. Thank you so much for coming and sharing this evening. It's always wonderful to be able to spend some time with you. And I know that your life is a blessing to the people that are around you. Contact with you. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great couple weeks. I'll talk to you in two.
Okay. Thank you so much, Wendy. It was my honor. Oh. Have a great week.
Thank you,
you
Wendy.
You too.